the launch team wishes you good luck and Godspeed.
Ignition sequence starts.
Welcome to the Apollo Hour, the emergency broadcast. It is your boy, Apollo Dez, with Spaceman, Mr. Ribbit Roughneck. I can't say thank you enough for calling me a gracious host to have us in your wonderful man cave. I mean,
yeah.
Camera one, camera two, pan out, look at this.
It is a sweet fucking showroom.
It's the room to be in.
It is.
So thank you so very much for having us, sir.
You're welcome. No problem.
What's up, boys? It's been a minute. Audio's working, hopefully. So hopefully we get this out into the universe. But how's everything been?
Same old shit with me, dude.
Man, it really
watching
is.
The world burn.
Same shit, just watching the world burn.
No sports, world burning. I mean, it's
so weird how we went from just all the sports all back at once. Like it was a little bit of dribble with like boxing, and then a little bit of dribble with MMA, and
soccer.
Then just, bam, soccer. Bam, baseball. Bam, basketball. Boom, we're right in the playoffs with everything. Oh my god,
and
then it's just all gone.
Yeah, and now
it's just gone. We got football.
Yeah, we have football. We have college football whenever they play.
Golf.
Golf, NBA draft tonight. But let's just dive into it. Let's get into the nitty gritty, the Rocket drama. That's why we're here. We're here for the state of Houston sports, and it has not been great the last year.
It's a dumpster.
It hasn't been great the last year. Let's go right into the Rockets first. MDA's out.
He gone.
Morey out. Then we go get Stone. Then we get Salas. Everything looks like it's, you know, perfect. The ship is righted. Everything's good. Then the bombs stop dropping. Westbrook wants out. Harden wants out.
They went out.
Tucker wants a new contract. Eric Gordon's not happy about his role. Rivers wants to test free agency. What is going on, boys?
So, first off, let's take a step back. All right. Recency bias is real, right?
100%.
Especially in the age of COVID where everything sucks. Everything's the worst it's ever been. Oh, it's 2020. Everything's fucked.
Yeah.
But let's take a step back. All right. If you look at the 2002 to like 2006 Houston sports scene, it was trash.
Trash.
It was really bad.
Not great.
Not great. So Jackson's
Astros had a
little bumps. Well, here's the thing: even those Astros, right, committed a lot of money to Carlos Lee and committed a lot of money
to Clemens and Pettit,
and like everyone just got old really fast, and the contracts got bad really fast, and there was no farm team, and this was what led to the 100 lost seasons,
Correct. Right?
The Rockets, Tracy and Yao just can't stay on the fucking court together; they're hurt all the time. You finally move on from that era into the Kevin Martin era. Ugh, you know, very forgettable.
Kevin Martin.
Yeah. Very forgettable. The Texans, obviously a beginning franchise, but you go from Dom, the head coach, and Charlie Casserly, the GM. Then you go to Rick Smith. And people hated Rick Smith, even though he did a good job. So what I'm saying now is that this is bad, but it's still good. You've still got a World Series championship caliber team in the Astros. The Texans are an absolute dumpster fire, but they have talent. You know, there is talent there.
Seems like there's one piece of talent on each side of the ball.
There's one piece on each side, and you're not going to be able to build around it.
They sell the jerseys.
Yes.
And your question about the Rockets. Daryl's gone. MDMA is gone. They had their chance.
MDMA.
Or MDA. Hey, oh,
yeah.
So, anyway... Daryl's gone. MDA's gone. Right. But they have their chance. They've been trying to build a winner here for 7 years.
Let's talk about the circumstances of them leaving, though. Right?
Not great.
They were terrible.
Not great.
So, D'Antoni, of course, they tried to extend him last year.
Yes.
Didn't come to an agreement with him, probably because of Tillman Fertitta. Right? Daryl Morey says it was like their number one priority to extend him. And what's he do whenever they get bounced out of the West? He tells him on the fucking plane ride home,
hey,
I'm out.
Well, I mean...
It was going
to
be
look, all
another...
that's really shitty, but what's the good way to get fired?
It was another year where it was championship
or bust.
It was his job was on the line. He knew it. Shit, they may have fired him. Tillman Fertitta didn't even call him after the series was over. And he took that as a huge sign of disrespect, and I think that was one of the reasons why he stepped out.
Yeah, I think you have a big... gap and big language barrier in the sport where you have a new owner who has never
been in this sphere of sports and you have an old school coach who kind of is abides to the old school rules, right? You know, you want your owner to talk, reach out to the head coach, and that conversation, there's a disconnect there, obviously. And maybe that's how he operates.
Was there a lack of respect? Probably.
Tillman Fertitta spends his whole life on the telephone, dude. He knows he needs
to. Again, like, what's the good way to get fired? You know, like, Mike D'Antoni, you just lost in the playoffs again. You just lost in, like, really ugly fashion in the playoffs again. James didn't show up in the playoffs again. Like, is Tillman dying to get on the phone and be like, hey, let's talk about this? Like, I'm sure everybody's pissed off, you know? So if Mike wants to take it personal that, hey, you were supposed to call me and we're supposed to have a end of season wrap and discuss, like, the things about the season that were good and bad and beginning game plan going into next season, like, that can wait a week. It doesn't have to be the day of. So if D'Antoni wants to use this as, well, I felt disrespected by him. Well, dude, I feel disrespected by you choking in the playoffs for 7 years in a row.
Yeah, I think you touched on a good point.
Like, what's the good way to get fired?
I think you touched on a good point. I think, and we're looking at it now, almost everyone has one foot out in that situation. Like, is MDA's one foot out the disrespect of Tillman not reaching out? I mean, we can look at the other angle of him, like, hey, I don't want to be here. Let's just use this. And now with Westbrook and Harden, we're seeing with not being in the talks of hiring a GM, they're now taking offense to that, not being in that. So they're using other angles to be like, hey, I'm going to use this to get out of my jail card.
I'm going to do something very few people are doing right now. I'm pro Tillman on this.
Wow.
With his handling of this. Tillman is a businessman, and Tillman is a you're not going to tell me what the fuck to do kind of guy. So when I hear James Harden being like, James and Russell saying, you know, well, Daryl brought us in on all the decisions, and Daryl told us, you know, I told Daryl what I wanted done, and it got done, and Daryl let me have this loose atmosphere, you know, and well, okay, that didn't work, right? So now Tillman goes out and he makes a decision, and he hires Raphael Stone, and he hires Stylus, and Russell and James are like, well, we weren't brought in on this decision. Well, no, the fuck you weren't. You're players, okay? I own the franchise. I make the decision. And while I hope it's a good fit for you, yeah, at the end of the day, the buck stops with me. And that's the kind of guy Tillman is, it feels like. So when James Harden goes in there and tells Tillman, and again, this is something I respect about Tillman. When James Harden goes in there and he tells Tillman, I want to trade. I'm done. I don't want to be here anymore. I want to go to New Jersey and play with Kevin, and I want to go play with Kyrie, and I want to go chase a title. And Tillman says, well, I'm really glad to hear that you want that, James. When your contract is over in 3 years, you're more than welcome to go wherever the fuck you want.
Yeah.
But during those 3 years, you're probably going to be here because we're not going to get a package worthy of your talent.
And if you could show up in the playoffs, that would be fantastic.
Yeah, that'd be fantastic too.
It all hinges, and we can look back and revisionist history that we were built. Maury's brainchild was being built to defeat the Warriors, right?
Yeah,
and we almost got there. And then no one across any levels expected Kevin Durant to go to Golden State. That was the camel that broke the straw that broke the camel's back, right? And so from then you can't. There's nothing you can do. You can't go get a third superstar to Houston. We're just not that market at that time. And
Kevin Durant was absolute nails all the way through the post.
Yeah, wow. And then you. I mean, people will look back the Chris Paul hamstring, obviously. If that's
a what if.
That's a what if. You can't play what ifs.
No.
What if Chris Paul hurts his hamstring and James Harden steps up and he's the superstar he's fucking supposed to be? Because you had a lead in game 6 and you had a lead in game 7.
Harden has a lot of Tony Romo to him. A lot of great moments in the regular season and moments you just like, you're just in awe. But when it came to it, when someone had to make a play, it was never made.
This is, again, I'm going to go back to
piano
why I support Tillman in this situation. Because Tillman is a no-nonsense guy, and he's not going to deal with this bullshit. And, you know, say what you want about the players of old, and it was like, you know, players of old, all they cared about money. They don't care about is winning. All they care about is money. Yeah, well, they also had loyalty, you know? So the NBA player of today is so catered to and pampered, and it all started with the LeBron Dwayne Wade, Chris Bosh, Heedle's team, like, I want to go play with my friends, and I want to team up, and I want to make money and win titles, right? And it just has grown into this thing where now the superstar says to themselves, I don't want to be in this situation anymore. I know I signed a contract. I want to go do something else, yeah. right? And Tillman's not the guy you're going to tell you want to do something else. He's like, no, dude, you're under contract, right? Yeah. So if this was the Daryl Morey, Leslie Alexander Rockets, I think James would have been traded already. He would have come in, he would have demanded this trade, and they would have moved him. But I think that Tillman's not putting up with this shit. And he's like, no, I signed you to a contract. You're going to live out that contract. I'm still going to do my best. And this is where I understand the Tillman slander, because he's such a cheap bastard. But he's like, you know, I'm going to try and build around you. But, dude, you're the guy for 3 years, so you got to figure it out.
Yeah.
And, again, if James was going to be traded, I think he would have been traded by now.
Yeah, and you got to keep in mind, too, who these guys have been pandering to this whole time. They're no longer with the team.
They're not.
Right.
They're really not.
Morey left. You know, I mean, he said that he wanted to spend more time with his family after being in the bubble.
Yeah, that lasted a month.
Yeah.
I don't even know. I think maybe 10 days before Philly came back.
So, you know, that to me said a lot, right?
Yeah.
He makes an excuse to get out. He's picked up in 10 days. You got an awkward-ass video of Mark Berman silently following him to his car.
Leaving the Landry's offices.
Yeah, with a cell phone
flashing his license plate all over the place. Yeah. There's Daryl Morey's plate.
Getting in his Mercedes Benz. Here's the license plate.
Look, Bill Belichick doesn't get fired in New England because Bill Belichick wins, right? Mike Tomlin doesn't get fired in Pittsburgh because Mike Tomlin wins. Steve Kerr doesn't get fired because they win, right?
So, when the news breaks, Colin, Westbrook wants out, and then a couple 48 hours, Harden, the rumors of Harden's camp is leaking stuff out. What's your initial reaction to what you're seeing across the Twitter sphere or Facebook, whatever, whenever you get in those universes, like the notifications?
So I think when Russell Westbrook landed on the Rockets, I don't think I knew one person that liked him, right? Right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Besides the Russell people, yeah.
Exactly. So he cut.
The Russ fans are going to be in the comments.
Yeah, sorry. Yeah. Sorry, guys. Please don't dox me. So he shows up here. They're running this fucking weird-ass offense. No center, right?
Yeah.
This takes them a little while to pick up steam. They finally get it
to unleash Russell.
Yes.
Yeah.
So they finally get around to making it work, but that kind of play style isn't built to win a championship. Unfortunately.
Now, see, this is where I argue with you, is because that play style showed flashes that were working. And I think that if you refine that play style and if you added someone that could actually shoot and consistently make threes at a high level clip, a 40% 3-point shooter, I think that style could work. But Russell got hurt.
I kind of disagree, though, because it's almost like the Wildcat being introduced in the NFL. It's a new thing, and once you have film on it, you can start game planning. And that's kind of what we saw right before COVID shut everything down. The Rockets went, on a 6-7 game losing streak, losing bad to really bad teams. And we're just like, where's the team that we just saw 2 weeks ago?
Yeah.
But again, were the Charlotte Bobcats, or the Charlotte Hornets now, I'm sorry, were they game planning the Rockets? It's a new system you got to learn.
Yeah.
Things, right? I definitely understand your take. But I think in basketball, especially, players and the way they can create, their ability to make things happen is going to overcome certain game plans.
That's fair. Right?
I've seen 15, 20, 30 different game plans thrown at James Harden. He still averages 35 points a game. Right?
Yeah. He's a unicorn.
Yeah.
So, given the Harden news.
Maybe. Did it work?
The Harden news breaks. No. Thoughts? Yeah. I mean, what are you thinking when the Harden camp starts leaking things out and we're starting to see... We see rumors, we see sources from all these accounts, but then we see Woj and Shams kind of, hey, let's temper expectations, but then more and more and more, we're here on draft night, and we're still kind of in limbo.
Yeah, so, you know, the first thought is, of course, panic. Right? Who's going to be the superstar on this team if he goes?
Gotta have one.
Right? Didn't they offer him $50 million a season, and he turned it down?
Yeah.
That would have been the most... per season of any player in the NBA, correct? Mm-hmm.
You know there's a problem when you're turning down $100 million.
Turned it down.
That's when I started.
No state tax.
Bro,
yeah.
He turned it down.
Wow.
So here's the next thing, the Nets. That's where everyone says he probably wants to go, right? Did they unask that kind of money for him?
No.
You don't think so?
No. I think he takes a very team-friendly contract. If he
So
well, he's on a contract now. And he'll out there and play his contract out.
It'll be a new super team. I mean, they'll have, what, four All-Stars?
Yeah, I mean, I guess it depends who gets traded. Yeah. depends who gets traded back. And
wait, was Caris LeVert an All-Star? I can't
remember. Yeah, so anyway, you know, myself, I'm not a huge, huge basketball fan. So to me, when I hear the only name that's been consistent on the Rockets for the last 7 or 8 years is leaving, to me, that sucks. I mean, everyone loves the guy in Houston.
Yeah. You know? I mean, he's built his brand. He's, for better or worse, during playoffs, he's been the guy in Houston. He's an elite scorer.
Yeah.
Hate him or love him, he is one of the top players in the league.
He's been the face of the Rockets for 8 years.
Yeah. Yeah. He's been in the running for MVP damn near every year.
And he was the bridge. Originally, people thought he'd just be the bridge to the next superstar after the Yao and the T-Mac years. Right. You know, we just kind of came off the Steph franchise. But
No one knew when we got James Harden that this is what he was going
to
be.
And he evolved into a superstar. We saw it in front of our eyes. It was great to see. Will I be happy if he wins a ring somewhere else? I love the guy. I mean, do I think he can do it by himself? No, because he couldn't do it here in his prime. And so it's slippery slopes.
With James Harden now, especially, I've gotten to such a love-hate relationship with the guy because everything you said is true. And there's no one who's been shit on more the entire time he's been a fantastic success than James Harden. There's no one that's been, you know, dismissed more for
accolades.
Yeah, just like false reasons, you know? Oh, he's only successful because he draws fouls. He's only successful because he flops. He's only successful because he cheats. He never passes the ball. He chokes in the playoffs. Like a bunch of things that just aren't true.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they just say it about James Harden. But then there's the things that are true. He hasn't made it all the way. He's asked us for Dwight Howard. We got Dwight Howard. He ran him out of town. He asked us to get Chris Paul. We got Chris Paul. He ran him out of town.
He asked us to go get Russell Westbrook.
We got Russell Westbrook. Now Russell Westbrook saying he wants to go somewhere where he can be alpha dog. He can't play in this style. And again, like I was saying about Belichick and Tomlin and those people that stay, it's because they win, but it's also because they get people to buy into what they're selling.
I think so. And they can manage egos.
And how long?
Nick Saban at Alabama.
Right.
He has 45 five-star recruits every year.
Right.
How does he keep them there, and how does he win with them? Because he knows how to manage egos, and he can coach. And he has a product that wins.
Well, they want to come to him.
Exactly.
That's why. So he gets the best ones.
Right.
College recruiting is the biggest sham of all time, in my
opinion.
Here's
the money.
Yeah. Exactly. Exactly.
But there's a thing there for those coaches. I don't think they're loved. I don't think those guys are, hey, great job, you're tapping on the button.
No, you know what they are? They're respected.
They're feared and respected.
They're respected.
They are absolutely assholes.
Yeah.
But you know what? The players respect them. And that's what Belichick, Tomlin, think about it.
Flip side of it, you look at Steve Kerr. Steve Kerr is an extremely player-friendly coach.
Yeah.
You know?
He'd be an anomaly.
But he's respected.
Yep.
When he says something, it gets done because he's proven that his way works.
Yep.
And to get back to Daryl and Mike, they did great here, and I appreciate everything. I was so pissed off when Mike D'Antoni got hired. I was like, why the fuck are we hiring Mike D'Antoni?
This is 2007?
Yeah, like our thing was offense then. We needed defense, and we go out and hire Mike D'Antoni. I'm like, this is the complete opposite of what we need. And all he did was just gave me some of the most exciting seasons I've seen.
Yeah.
The year that Russell won the MVP that James was supposed to. People forget that year. He was 29-11.5. He led the league in assists that year. It was just fantastic. Yeah.
So you got to consider, too, Silas, he's an offensive guy.
I think it was a sharp hire.
So the Mavericks were second in threes last season behind.
Well, we got breaking news.
Oh, we're going to break it?
We got a breaking news.
Charlotte.
Michael Jordan said he was going to go get him. I'm really surprised.
The star power of LaMelo Ball, dude. Yeah, he could have had Russell Westbrook.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, could have.
But touching on Salas.
So he's the Mavericks were second in shooting threes and three percentage last year, behind the Rockets only. So he's going to come here and keep the same.
We're
going to
run a very similar offense.
Yeah, I think that. I don't know. I don't know a lot about moving pieces around in basketball. I'm just saying.
We don't have to get lost in the
score. They scored a lot. I know that. That's fun to watch.
And we've seen things leak out from the Westbrook camp and the Harden camp that they've liked the head coach hire. I think the disconnect was with the GM hire, and maybe because they didn't want to get one of their guys.
No, anything, and
but it's
we live in we've
Tillman.
We,
it's Tillman's guy,
right?
So I think that's where the disconnect is. It's Tillman's guy, Tillman's GM. They like the head coach hire, so the GM hire is not their guy. So we're seeing a disconnect there for sure.
Here's what I'm thinking, or what I'm seeing is, you know, the word fake news came around in 2016, but anyone that follows sports news knows that everything you hear in sports is fake news until it's reported by Woj, right?
Right.
So anything coming out of anything coming out of the Harden and Westbrook camp, I'm not buying at all. Like earlier, they were like, Harden wants out because Tillman's a Trump supporter. It's like, dude, I highly doubt James Harden gives a fuck about who anyone supports in any political matter at all. The dude plays basketball and goes to the titty bar. Like, he doesn't give a shit about that.
No.
Right? So, what I think led to Russell and James saying they wanted out, they wanted to be moved, is we've got a new head coach. We've got a new GM. The guys around us aren't getting any younger. We don't have a lot of picks. I don't want to be here for a rebuild, yeah, right? So fair. I'd rather get out in front of the rebuild, get me out now. And even then, I don't think that they're opposed to running it back. I think it's like, hey, let's put it out there and let's see some feelers, you know? Let's see if someone will bring us in.
And we can segue on your
rebuild,
rebuild comment because the Texans are in that conversation. And we had J.J. Watt who came out in press conferences. I do not want to be part of a rebuild.
Yeah.
And so...
Well, lucky for you, JJ, we don't have any picks, so you won't be.
So as not a fan of the team, but a fan of football, I think the Texans are going to move move away from JJ. I think JJ's going to be cut in the offseason.
Who are you a fan of?
And we, so redacted.
Yeah.
Just a fan of sport.
Yeah.
But I think...
Not a fan of a team with like a bunch of talent on it that's not going anywhere either.
Yeah, just... Endless, hopeless heartbreak of all time, just for 20 years of my life. No, but you have JJ saying he doesn't want to be part of a rebuild. You have the Texans and their drama in themselves. So we go right up 59 and right down 59, and we have the Texans. You have Bob finally out. You have Easterby running the entire Seven Kingdoms.
He's a fucking creep, too. What is with that guy?
He's very ugly. Oh.
Well, not only is he not fun to look at. So this dude is he's a pastor.
Yeah.
Author. What was he doing for the Patriots? He was some kind of cultural fucking guru weirdo.
We saw it this week.
I don't like this.
They asked
these stupid old men that run the Texans. They're buying into this shit.
They bought it.
The opinion of Colin Grimes. Dude,
it is.
It's a cult, and he's the cult leader.
Bobby, this is some deep state bullshit.
Deep state. Deep state. Added the last name out.
Oh,
but
no government name.
No government name.
We saw it this week when they asked Belichick about the Texans,
and
they asked
about personnel guy.
They asked him about Easterby, and he's like, yeah, he's a great guy, blah, blah, blah. And they asked him about personnel. He's like, nope, not a personnel guy.
Yeah.
And he's running all the personnel calls. And so in the last month, we've seen Bob finally out after he's burnt everything down. Easterby's regime reign. And not really good football.
That is the most embarrassing franchise.
They won the first game after Bill O'Brien left.
And you would... Everyone put the mortgage on the Texans winning that.
That was a Super Bowl.
Everyone knew that was going to happen.
That was a Super Bowl for us.
Jags.
Yeah.
No.
Hey, a win's a win.
Hey.
A win is a win.
We were both 1-6, and God damn it, we're the better team.
And then we were 2-6.
And then we were 2-6, and they were 1-7. Hey, that's a division win,
too. I think we were 0-4.
That's a division win. 0-4. That's right. Well, then we played them again when we were 1-6.
We were 2-6, or 1-6 when we played them again.
Yes. So... Bill O'Brien was out, right? Why did he leave? No one liked him. He didn't have anybody's respect.
No one's.
You saw the way that your star player, who is normally very outspoken with the press after every game, win or loss, JJ, he's giving one word answers to the reporters.
You can see his frustration.
Yeah. I mean, like you never seen him. He's a broken man.
Bill O'Brien was the exact opposite of Mike D'Antoni, where Mike D'Antoni came in, he succeeded, they tinkered with shit, they always tried to make things a little better, but they could never quite get there. And it got to the point where Mike D'Antoni, it was just time for a new
coach. I don't think D'Antoni never tried to be the smartest guy in the room. And with Bill O'Brien, it felt like any room he went into, he tried to be the smartest guy in the room.
No, he was a tyrant.
And then he would murder anyone that was smarter than him, and when the police took him away... He'd be like, see, I was the smartest guy in the room.
Right. Yeah. Well, the problem was that he was wielding too much power being the coach and the GM.
Yes.
Everything right. about the Texans that was said, and the joke that they are, is Bill O'Brien kept falling up. Like, as he would make falling a decision, yeah. as he would make a decision that was awful, he was given yeah. more power to make an even worse decision.
That's a great...
Which led to more power to make an even worse decision, and then... It all culminated with where we're at now, which is you have Deshaun Watson, you have Laramie Tunsil, and that's it. Everyone else on this team, even J.J. Watt, whom I love to death, is kind of trash. You have no draft picks to replenish the closet. Like, you don't yeah. have any cap room.
This
is a disaster.
That's the worst part.
Like, it's awful.
Football... I think more than any sport relies on draft picks, in yes, my opinion.
100%.
So when you give away your best player for a fucking sleeve of crackers or whatever fucking trade Bill O'Brien made for DeAndre Hopkins, that was the worst trade in NFL history.
Yes.
It wasn't the worst in NFL history.
It was pretty fucking close.
It was pretty up there.
It wasn't the best.
Here's the thing, dude.
It's really bad.
Is he the top performing receiver in the NFL right now? Or not?
I mean, we can cue in he's
DeAndre Hopkins. Right, he's a top three receiver in football, just like QB, he always is.
QB, the best QB in the league?
He always is. Or is he just the best? With the Bill O'Brien stuff, again, is it? I don't think Bill O'Brien necessarily made moves that I didn't understand why he made. He just never understood how to get value for anything.
But yeah, also, I don't think he had an ownership to check him.
No, they gave him free reign to do whatever. Ayers,
and we're seeing it now with Easterby. Where's Callum McNair?
Stephon Diggs.
He's up in the castle. He was
getting cucked by Bill O'Brien.
Cal's overwhelmed. He can't handle the situation. Nah, dude. That's why he doesn't talk to the press. Team. Like, he just doesn't have the oomph for it. You know?
I mean, you have to have an owner to check a GM in the situation of, hey, what the fuck?
Hey, say what you want about Tillman Fertitta. He most certainly would have traded DeAndre Hopkins. Yeah. He would have fired Bill just for bringing the fucking subject up, you know? And there's, like, exactly what you're saying. They need someone to check him, and they didn't have someone to check him.
No.
And they didn't fire the cook until he burned the whole fucking kitchen to the ground. You know?
He almost didn't get fired.
And there's,
he still almost didn't get fired.
If there wasn't almost a player revolt led by J.J. Watt,
yeah,
the most personable human being in Houston sports franchise history, and he almost leads a revolt, a mutiny with the players. That's what it took.
And they're still firing people. They fired PR Amy.
Yeah, Miss Amy.
Everyone loved her.
That's
not a cultural fit anymore with Easterby's fucking male.
The Texans have become,
whatever he's doing.
When I saw that come across the ticker and it said not a cultural fit, I was like, Did Crane's people get into the PR? Do the Astros and Texans have the same PR team? Because that language was terrible.
It's not good.
We saw a full frontal assault on 790 and 97.5 of all these Houston Texans front office people trying to get on and save face. And I was like, this is kind of the worst PR I've seen since the Osuna thing.
Or the Taubman thing.
Yeah, the student
so
yeah.
Houston sports with incidents with women on staff and press was terrible this year. Absolutely awful.
It's literally like Michael Scott was running running the PR companies. It's like, how can it get any worse than what it is? And it continues to get worse.
So the thing with the Texans is that, can you name a PR person for any team in football besides the Houston Texans? Can you name a PR person?
No,
That's their job, to stay out of sight.
The Texans became such a joke and such a dumpster fire, and everything they did was so stupid that their PR person got famous for getting fired.
Yeah.
Like, they fire someone, and you just assume that it's a really fucking stupid thing to do, and now you laugh at the Texans again, right? And they've gotten to that point because they take peak talent, good talent, and they just waste it. Time and time and time again, from Andre Johnson,
David Carr,
to Arian Foster, to David Carr, J.J. Watt, DeAndre Hopkins, they're going to do it to Deshaun Watson, and it's just, It's mediocrity. And say what you want about the Rockets. They field a competitive team. Yeah. I don't think James is going to get traded. I don't think Russell's going to get traded until maybe end of the season. And they're going to put a team out there that probably won't, but can compete for a title. They're going to be a 4 seed. They're going to be a 3 seed. They're going to win games. Are the Texans going to the playoffs next year?
I mean,
are they going to win 5 games next year?
I don't know.
Are they going to win 5 games when you have, after that?
When you have a Deshaun Watson, you can win at any time. You have a chance of winning because
right. He's I said that talented. Too. And then anytime he beat the Jags the twice this year and nobody else.
Yeah. But he gives you a chance when every time he steps on the field.
How many times do they lose by one score or fewer?
I love Deshaun Watson.
Last year it was a lot of times.
Last year was a lot.
I haven't been paying close attention.
But Deshaun Watson, it's almost like a scene from The Longest Yard. Look at the team you're fielding around him. It's not great. And so
no, I'm done with that because the coaching hasn't put him in a good position, correct. And David Johnson should never touch the ball. The David Johnson as a running back is like a 12-foot jump shot in basketball. It's not necessary anymore. It's
archaic.
But it's archaic.
A 12-foot shot from Shaq.
You don't
Shaq.
Need it. Yeah, right. You
it's
don't need it.
It's not great.
Right? You know? Shoot threes, throw home runs. You got this team for speed to take throw shots down the field. And yeah, just throw home runs, dude. You got you Deshaun Watson, one of the most accurate deep ball passers in football.
You got
all this speed. Will Fuller, Brandon Cooks, Randall Cobb. You got all this speed, and you're handing the ball to fucking David Johnson.
But you
first
see
and second
it,
down.
19 but, times a game. But what are you doing?
But you
and
see,
people wonder why your offense can't score points.
You see this excuse every week, and it's the same if it's Bill O'Brien or if it's Cornell. Like, the same excuse is we haven't had time to implement our offense due to COVID.
Neither has anyone else.
Everything is always goes back to not having a full training right. camp and not running their offense because of COVID. But there's 31 other teams that have the same
correct.
Exact problem. And
correct.
You're trying to fit
Ben
a
Roethlisberger
round
had
piece
no,
of wood through a square hole, and it doesn't work.
Ben Roethlisberger had no offseason, no training, and he missed all of last year, and his team's 8-0.
Yeah.
You know?
So he's also a Super Bowl
I think there's
champion.
A huge problem Indian? In Houston. From front offices, and then maybe this may get Apollo canceled. But I don't even care right now.
Oh,
but
send
they
it
tried,
out there.
But they tried to
doesn't care about his own company. He heard it.
But they tried to make the Houston fan almost seem like we're stupid. Like we see through the BS. We see through the smoke that you're trying
Des,
to sell us.
Allow me to help you get Apollo canceled.
Oh,
the Houston
see,
fan.
You can tune in for the
the
River
Houston
Hour
fan
for that.
Is stupid. The Houston fan does not hold these teams accountable.
They don't hold them accountable, but they're not dumb in sports knowledge. They
sure they are. The Texans have sold out every year of their
yeah,
existence.
Exactly. That's what I was about to say.
Of course they are. 100%.
They're so satisfied with mediocrity because they sell that stadium out. They sell a billion beers every week.
We're happy to be
there's,
here. The guys played hard.
60,000 people tailgating outside of that place. More.
We're gonna cheer our boys no matter what.
Yeah, exactly.
Then
and
I guess
dude, you know,
on Apollo, we're the minority and we see through the bullshit.
I'm guilty 100%. Of it too, man.
Look, as I've gotten older, I'm sorry to cut you off, Colin. It's just my take is much better than yours. As I've gotten older, I made a tweet the other day and I was like, Houston sports are falling apart. Call your team now, right? And there's the
yeah,
people that go
really
in there.
Jump ship really quickly on that.
It's just fun, you know, okay. Engagement, right? But there's the people that come in
Band
there.
Band of Brothers, written sometime.
I knew they were going to be there. I'd stick with my team, ride or die. I'm Houston born and raised. Astros, Rockets, Texans. You don't jump ship when shit's bad. I'm like, look, bud, let's say Dez owns this company and Josh owns this company and this company gets big time.
Okay.
And they give it to their kids. And while I'm sure this isn't going to happen, let's say your kids are dipshits, right? And your kids are
it's probably going
to
happen.
Your kids are total dipshits, and they really take this company to shit, and it's fucked. Everything yeah. about this company sucks now. But I've been with the company, so I got to be loyal to my company, right? No, this is all a business, people, and the business that the Rockets and the Astros and the Texans and MLB and NBA and NFL sell you is entertainment. And if you're not entertained, then don't fucking support the business. Because continuing to support a business that doesn't entertain you is going to embolden the business to just keep not entertaining you because they're making their money, right?
That's what happened when the Astros were going through their rebuild, dude. I would go to their games. No shit. Everyone probably did the same thing. I was 17, 18 years old. I roll up there with a Powerade wrapper, and I get a ticket for $2
yeah.
on a Tuesday.
Yeah.
$2 Tuesdays. And I'd go sit my happy ass up in the mezzanine for a couple innings. And then I'd go sit right behind the dugout because no one was there.
Yeah, you and seven other people.
Right. And so what do they say? This is a problem.
Right.
There's 10,000 people at each game, not 38,000 or however many people.
We need to start fielding a competitive team.
Exactly. And then they fucking did.
Right.
Of course, they also had the best farm system back then. Now, the Astros have one of the worst farm systems. I think they're 28 out of 30.
Well, we'll touch on that. I don't think it's as bad as what they're saying, but we'll touch on that a little bit. But you, Colin, spoke on something earlier about the worst trades of all time.
Yeah.
And so, obviously, recency bias, the DeAndre Hopkins trades. So, I want to talk about the worst trades in Houston history.
That was so huge. Bad.
And so, recency bias aside, I feel like the DeAndre Hopkins trade is up there.
Yeah.
Because you don't get the value. Diggs went for a 1 and a 3. Yeah. You traded DeAndre Hopkins for David Johnson and a 2.
Due to your coach's ego. And I think
or lack of knowledge.
Yeah, lack of knowledge, his ego, whatever it is, you traded DeAndre Hopkins, top three receiver. For I know a bag of peanuts.
The Bill O'Brien ego thing and the baby mamas thing, which is probably all bullshit. You can sell me on we need to trade DeAndre Hopkins because we have to pay Laremy Tunsil and we have to pay Deshaun, and even though he's not worth the contract anymore, we already paid JJ. Like, we're running out of money. We're not going to be able to afford DeAndre. You can sell me on we need to trade him. You can't sell me on we need to trade DeAndre with 2 years left on his contract and we have to trade DeAndre for David fucking Johnson, right?
And not 2016 you can't breakout sell me David on Johnson. That.
Yeah. You can still sell handing me the on, ball 20 times every day.
Yeah.
You can sell me on we traded DeAndre Hopkins to Green Bay for 2 first round picks. Okay. You put him on the other side
with Devontae Adams. You look at an asset and you have some value.
Right. You put him on another side with Devontae Adams. You got Green Bay up there with Aaron Rodgers. Yeah, he's getting long in his career, but they can make something happen.
Still a fucking stud.
Still a gangster, right? You can sell me on that.
Yeah.
So that's what really makes the DeAndre thing so bad. It's just you sold a Ferrari for $30.
Yeah. You actually gave a Ferrari away and got back an Accord.
Yeah. You sold a Ferrari for $30 and then the check bounced and the guy's gone with your Ferrari.
Yes. Exactly. So you had some others in mind, I guess.
I did. I have a few written down. The one that comes to mind is the Brett Phillips, All-Star Josh Hader, Domingo Santana, and Hauser for Rat Fuck Mike Fiers and Carlos Gomez. That's up there on my list.
Yeah.
Astros.
And didn't know it at the time, but those would become two of the most hated Astros.
Of all time.
Yeah. Ever.
Of all time.
Carlos Gomez, just because he was a fucking clown.
All
know about Mike Fiers.
If you put that trade in context, Mike Fiers was kind of a throw-in in that trade, and
Carlos Gomez was the centerpiece.
And he was supposed to bring a team that was, you know, on the cusp and put it over the top. That was your I'm going all in move,
yes.
Right?
100%.
And then, obviously, Domingo became what he became. Josh Hader became what he became.
Brett Phillips was a World Series hero for short second.
Right. So that one I can understand. Okay, we're going for it. We don't you never know with prospects, right? What do they say? Prospects are cool, parades are cooler.
Yeah.
Right. No one knew Carlos Gomez was gonna come here and be awful. Like even if he was just okay, Carlos Gomez.
He had some
home runs.
Yeah.
I love bat flips.
I love the Carlos Gomez hustle double where he would just like knock his helmet off to make it seem like he was running faster and cooler.
He's a fucking dork.
Fucking hated that.
They used to show this segment where they would cut to commercials and they would ask Astros questions. And one of the questions was, who's the loudest guy in the clubhouse? And then it would cut to Carlos Gomez going, did they say it was me? I'm like, duh, motherfucker. They said it was you. Yeah. You act like you're 12 fucking years old.
And I think that's what really rubbed people the wrong way, because it was so forced. It wasn't like Luis Valbumba. Like, he would fucking pimp 200-foot fly balls to mid-center field. But he did it because he fucking loved the game, and it was organic, and it looked so cool. Right. Rest in peace to that king. But Carlos Gomez would fucking bat flip into the mezzanine section when it was a ground ball to shortstop.
He was a tryhard.
And he just did it because he was...
He was a tryhard.
He was a tryhard. When you see him swinging and falling on his teeth and his helmet flies off and it's a pitch that was 8 inches off his bat.
He's like Juan Soto, but he sucks.
Yeah.
But to put that trade in perspective, I understood that. I was excited at the time.
We didn't know Josh Hader would be a perennial all-star.
I didn't know Carlos Gomez was going to be trash.
Yeah. Well, we didn't know someone would dig up Hader's old tweets either. That's probably here we are.
Yeah. Well, here we are.
So, other trades, the Curt Schilling trade for Jason Grimsley. Curt Schilling obviously went on to be who Curt Schilling is.
Pretty good.
Bloody Sog. Pretty good World Series all-star.
Let's just say he's on the ballot and he's getting in this year.
He's never getting in.
Schilling?
I don't think he's.
We can touch on that a little bit later. We can. I think it's pretty split. I think it'll be close. The Joe Morgan trade. He was a catalyst to the Big Red Machine and all their World Series.
Whoops.
And then I have
never a good look to trade a Hall of Famer.
No. The Rockets traded Moses Malone. He won MVP and then we traded him and then he went to win another MVP in Philadelphia. Yeah. So. Not great when you're trading an MVP for, and then he goes has another MVP year.
We might have a history might be repeating itself this year. Not quite MVP.
With Jaimez? No, I don't think so.
I mean, and then I have number one Hopkins trade. I just think it's one of the worst.
Out of all those, it's definitely the worst one.
Those are just some highlighted ones. I'm sure the people in the comment sections will have their trades.
You won't.
Is worse than that.
I'm trying to go. I'm like running through my last 20 years of sports history in my head. And I'm like, which one was worse than the Hopkins one? I'm like, I know it's there, but I just don't know what it is.
You know what trade I love? And I don't even know if it's a trade right now. Did we trade for Artest or did we sign Artest?
I believe we signed
Artest. We signed him because I remember
that. I still love money, Artest.
Are you referring to Meta World Peace?
Meta World Peace. Okay. Yes, sir. Okay. Do we have that in the notes?
No.
I was about to say, if you have that. But that year, we took the Lakers to 7 with him and Brooks. I mean, it was one of the. I mean, Kobe ended up, putting us away, but that was like the most fun I had with the Rockets.
I would say the second worst trade right now in recent Rockets or recent sports history would be Westbrook. I hate that Westbrook trade.
It's pretty bad.
I can't stand that Westbrook.
Dude, they unasked.
Especially when you watch Chris go to Oklahoma City and just continue to be Chris Paul. Great. And continue to
almost
elevate subpar talent. Almost
we
beats
were here.
Us.
Me and Colin, we're here in this house watching the game. We were like, what the fuck did we do? Why did we trade Chris Paul?
Yeah.
And we knew it. I think all of Houston knew it. It was like, Chris Paul is so petty, he's gonna lead them to a win here and force a game 7 and figure it out.
Well, some people are built for it. That comment that he made in the press conference.
And then we had James Harden's defining moment.
Over the top.
He's back. He's got his bugaboos, the playoff bugaboos. He's got his block because everyone thinks of James
Harden.
And
then he went out there and casually won game one against the Lakers.
Yeah. Because everyone thinks James Harden's
the
Ginobili
block.
That's
when the fun was done.
We finally got his block. And here we go.
Lou Dort was so annoying.
Dude was a linebacker.
I hate that guy.
Absolute linebacker.
Arizona State alum. We do not claim you, Lou Dort. How dare you?
I do have one little note we can touch on. This is your guy.
Oh, my boy.
MVPJ is going to get the start most likely.
No, we don't know that.
Most likely.
So they're saying that Teddy is going to have limited practice on Wednesday, but he still does have some swelling, still has some pain. I have dabbled in Panthers Twitter here recently. Didn't know it was a thing. Yeah, not shocked, but it's a thing.
Panthers.
And let me tell you, Panthers Twitter, they're ready for PJ too. These people, they've seen enough of Teddy.
They
know what Teddy
sucks.
Is. Teddy Bridgewater is a great
He's
backup
a
quarterback.
Manager.
He's
he
a great backup quarterback. Yeah.
MVPJ needs a shot.
Now,
could this be a moment?
PJ,
could this be a moment
100%
where he gets it and Wally pips him and it's MVPJ
if
for the next
he does,
decade?
Or if he does get to start.
Case Keenum moment.
If he does get to start, he's playing against the Lions. The Lions will give you some points. The Lions will give away games. He's got Robbie Anderson. He's got DJ Moore. He's got Curtis Samuel.
He's got Mike Davis.
He's got Mike Davis. He's got a squad around him. He's got talent. And if you let PJ... He can do some things that'll make people
points.
He'll points. Make people forget Teddy Bridgewater real fast. So
bro, let me
I'm
just tell you.
He gets started.
Those fucking Roughnecks games were the most fun I think I've ever had in my
coming back, life. Dude. 2022.
Those games were electric. It might have been because we were sitting in the front row watching MVPJ
walked in
thread
PJ
the needle.
Walker.
Huh?
Watching P.J. Walker.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Walking down the field over and over. Didn't make it. No problem. Castillo's kicking a 60-yard field goal.
Hey, who's having a good NFL career?
That's true. That's true.
We're not talking about that enough.
New York Jet, Castellanos. Boy, dude. Castillo. Sergio. Yeah, Sergio Castillo.
Did he get picked up by the Jets?
Bro, yeah, he's been kicking for the
Jets. And that little...
And they suck, so he's probably been getting a lot of action.
Ton of points.
He's
been working, dude. That little video of him shotgunning the beer as he's like...
The he seltzer? Makes
a, yeah, the little
the
seltzer.
Bud Light seltzer?
I mean, yeah. the Jets and New York media is loving that.
Dude, I love that. I didn't know he got picked up.
Yeah, fuck. I still don't
so
know
the,
how.
So the Roughnecks, if they have even a similar squad... It's probably not going to be as much fun,
but we're going to make it fun. We'll make it fun.
Those Roughnecks games were the best.
It was fantastic. That's the one thing Corona took away from me that I'll never forgive it for. You know, it really is. It was like Corona putting me up in my house to hang out with my wife and watch TV and play video games. Like, fine, whatever. That's cool with me. You know, Corona like, hey, you can't go out to the bar and spend money. I'm like, dope, dude. I'll hang out. You know, Corona saying you can't go watch the Roughnecks anymore. I'll never forgive it. I'll never forgive it.
And the best thing was seeing...
If I see Corona in the streets, dude. It's hands on sight.
Yeah. Both of y'all, the first row on TV, just bawling out, on camera. It was a great sight to see. And I was really jealous I never got to make it out. But to see y'all...
Des, if you don't mind, I'm going to flex a little bit. Yeah, okay, just a little flex. Front row doesn't mean a lot of things, right? Front row means a lot of the basketball game. Not so much in an NFL game. You know what I mean? You're still so fucking far away. College football game, kind of the same things. Front row at the Roughnecks game meant something. Like Colin's saying, there's already so much energy, but when you're right there...
They can hear you.
Oh, the players would chant with us.
Yeah.
You know, they'd get in there with us. It was.
Yeah. We saw Patty Smith down there, former Astros.
I'll never fucking forgive Corona for that.
Yeah.
Because we are going to get the Roughnecks back, and the XFL was the vibe. So, because...
It was
what we felt at those games, they were feeling in New York. They were feeling in St. Louis. Not
Seattle.
L.A. doesn't feel shit. You know, they don't give a shit.
Yeah, they showed up in the third quarter.
Sorry.
Fake World Series.
If you saw St. Louis, because they lost their NFL team, the St. Louis tailgates before XFL was wild.
Dude, they were great.
It's going to be wonderful. We've touched on it before. Football is king in Texas.
Yes.
And so when you have this new product that no one has no idea what's going to be about, I think Texas, other than other states, are going to be, fuck yeah, it's more football. It's more football. And we saw it.
Yeah. And the people who went there, just like you said, it's just people that love football.
It's people that love sports. There were only sports nuts in there. Who else is going to a B-squad football game other than sports nuts?
Right. It's the same crowd you see at a Skeeters game, you know?
Dude, it was
people that go to the Skeeters game love baseball.
Speaking of Skeeters.
Did you like that segue?
I love that little segue.
Did you like that segue?
Skeeters are now the AAA affiliate of the Houston Astros. That means we are right down the road from seeing the future Astros, the Astros getting rehab stints, and some guys just trying to make it to the squad.
Yeah.
It's going to be right there.
It's going to be cool.
And I think it's going to be great for Sugar Land. It's going to be great for... the city, and for us at Apollo, we can go down and see the guys. And I think we've built enough relationship and rapport with a lot of the guys that are fringe Major League Baseball players and AAA players that we're going to have a really good content coming out from there. And it's going to be really exciting to see. They have to kind of upkeep the facilities a little bit to get that on par. But I think it's going to be really fun to see that kind of grow.
Well, I'll tell anyone that's watching this, what Colin and I were just saying about the XFL is the exact same thing with minor league baseball. It's just a whole different vibe, a whole different energy. There's no such thing as a bad seat. Every seat is good.
And
every seat is cheap. They're always doing some kind of crazy, awesome promotion, whether it be, you know, dollar beer night, college night, Star Wars night, this night, that night. They have so much stuff going on. Like you said, you get to see the future, the people who are going to be up there. If you have any chance to go check out a minor league game, you have to do it.
So what's really cool
about it... The Constellation Field's beautiful.
Yeah.
Wonderful field.
100%.
What's cool about it is they're the AAA affiliate of a team that their ballparks are 22 miles apart.
Right.
Yeah.
There's only one other team like that, and it's the Braves. There's a AAA affiliate that's right in Gwinnett.
Is that true? Up.
Yeah.
Oh, look at that. So, geography guy.
So there's only...
Can we get the
one
map?
Other team?
The map?
Map it out.
Map
it
out.
Georgia.
Everyone loves Georgia right now. So there's that to look forward to. I mean, it's going to be a ton of diehard Astros fans.
Oh yeah,
up in those games.
We can get a little raucous there. We can get a little rowdy.
Dude, we're going to have to get a... We're going to carve out an Apollo section in that bitch if there's season tickets.
I kind of want to get, like, in left field and just fucking pepper that left fielder. Make him want to get demoted to double
A. Get him ready to come to the show.
We're going to have our logo on the fence out there.
Oh, that's a bold statement right there. Dude, put it out there.
But you know what's even better? If we can get out, like, in left field and get in that left fielder's ear, and then that left fielder gets called up to the show... Yeah. You go to Minute Maid Park and be like, hey, buddy.
Hey, bro, remember me? Remember
us? And we're like, we're still in that dumb swimming like Michael Phelps.
We didn't go anywhere.
Yeah, so I think that could be, we can a little home field advantage built in right there.
Hey, that's, if Astros do what they say and they're going to let fans in the stands, there's a very real possibility that's going to be the only team in Houston worth watching.
Yeah, those prices may be premium. But speaking on the Astros, obviously we're in the offseason. We're about to get into the hot stove era. And see what's going on with these free agents. But we had Carlos Correa, Yuli Gurriel, and Kyle Tucker up for Gold Gloves. And we went 0-3. And the only egregious one is Carlos Correa. We all thought, I think, if you take out the scandal and you just look at all bias and all...
What scandal? All of it,
good take. if you just look at the what Carlos did this year, he's a Gold Glove winner.
Yeah, that was a crying shame,
and I feel bad for him. You saw Lance tweeting about it. You saw other guys tweeting about it throughout the year. We saw Blummer tweet about all his Gold Glove moments, and you thought this was finally the year he was going to get his Gold Glove. And
we all knew he wasn't going to win, right?
I thought he was. I thought the media would put aside their bias of what happened
give
it to him because they gave it to some guy in Seattle.
That was all. Stats, no votes.
They went strictly stats. So the stats from Carlos Correa is what they took for the Gold Glove. Wow. Completely robbed, completely jobbed. We had Yuli Gurriel for first base, didn't get it. Kyle Tucker was somehow a finalist as well. Good for him.
Must have been a slow year in left field.
Yeah, must have
been. Slow year.
Because he took some terrible routes to baseballs throughout the season.
I think the only thing... And these advanced metrics obviously put some insight to this. He covers a lot of ground when he's running for foul balls, trying to catch foul balls. And left field is pretty expansive if you're running from...
Especially with our shifts.
Right. So I think that's maybe why. I mean, he made a couple of long catches.
I mean, I said it throughout the year. Magellan himself took better routes than Kyle Tucker. Yeah, two baseballs.
Why don't y'all just got to show the guy the proper respect? All right, dude is a defensive wizard. Okay, he's the left-handed Jake Marisnyk out there.
Right.
Like, he qualified for a Gold Glove because one of the three best defenders of left field in baseball.
Hey, you have that
the
forever.
Man his respect.
You have that forever.
Sabermetrics, baby.
Hey, if George wants to walk, that's fine. You know?
No, it's not fine.
It's not fine.
It's not fine.
You know what? Hot take here. I'm okay with George walking. He's on the wrong side of 30. He's had a good enough career that he's going to command a lot of money. A lot of money that I would rather see go to Correa.
I'd rather see
go to Kyle Tucker. I'd rather see go to Yordan. To my boy Framber. I'd rather see go to the farm system. George, I love you. You done well. I'm so proud of everything you did here. Go get paid. We can't pay you.
I agree.
Go get paid.
I agree. I've said it from the very beginning with George Springer that he's on the, like you said, wrong side of 30. He's on the back end of his prime. He's going to get a ton of money in a non-COVID year. We'll see what these billionaires scream poor.
Oh, dude. But they're bleeding money.
If you can get a 2-year, 3-year deal for George Springer, I'd take it. If it's a 5-6-year deal when you're looking at 150, no, I'm probably out. But before we jump into where we predict Springer and Brantley going, Christian Javier, up for Rookie of the Year.
Dude, that's huge.
Dude's a stud.
He kind of fell off a little bit in the second half.
Dude, this shortened season.
Which is a 60-game season, right? So how much can you say about it? It kind of fell off. But his first...
His playoff run.
4 or 5 starts combined with his playoff run, kid's going to be special.
And I don't think he's – I honestly – and our guy Ben over at Apollo Media, who's read some great pieces, we'll link him down below of what his projections are for free agency. But we talked about Christian Javier, and we both kind of agree he's probably not a number 5 starter. He's just utilizing that role. I would love to have him in that Ryan Pressly role that pre-injury Ryan Pressly, where he was the high leverage guy for AJ Hinch, that ate two or three innings, that could be Javier. And he's throwing, you know, three or four times a week instead of one time a week.
Yeah.
And he's just pitching in the, hey, let your nuts hang moments. Yeah. And it's fucking Christian Javier coming out, giving it to Paredes, Taylor, and then whoever our closer is.
He's got the stuff for it.
So I think he could be that guy. Taylor made and for eat, it. Eat a ton of innings and be a perennial all-star. If they wanted to make him a starter, fine. I mean, that's probably not his ceiling. His ceiling's probably in that high leverage role. But, I mean, the future's bright. Call we talked about the
Brad Peacock type.
Yeah, we talked about the worry of the minor league system. But your entire minor league system was up this year, and they showed out. And yeah, they learned trial by fire.
They sure were.
Trial by fire.
Holy shit.
But look.
The Astros got major way farther than everyone thought they were going to.
Yeah. So you have you're worried about oh my gosh, the Astros are 28th in the Major League Baseball, the minor league system. Hell,
half of them are here though.
Half of them are in Houston. That's what you want, right? When you're a player personnel, you're a GM, your goal is, what can I do to build a farm system to get them to the major leagues? And we are hitting at a 50 to 60% rate. Any team across Major League Baseball will take that. And shout out Jeff for doing that. And
Papa, yeah.
So, yeah, our minor league system may be whack right now, but everyone's up and they're going to thrive for 4 or 5 years. Framber Valdez, staff ace, all of a sudden, we have 5 years of control.
This is why.
5 years.
All these rookies, we got a lot of control. Yeah. Man, that's fantastic.
I don't mind.
If Jordan comes back with his new bionic knees next year.
His Iron Man.
There we go.
Yeah.
So,
starts cracking baseballs again.
We're losing George, yes. But
hold on.
The playoffs show.
He came back. One game. Home run.
Home run. No. Like nine. Jordan.
First of all.
Hey. So.
Yeah.
The playoffs showed that the demise of the Houston Astros was greatly exaggerated.
Fake news.
Right. It was greatly
fake
exaggerated.
News.
Yes, you lose George. You get a
their
full
window
season
has closed.
You get a full season of Jordan. Mm-hmm. Kyle Tucker took the step this year, right?
Dude, he looked good at the plate.
I'm
finally.
Gonna jump a topic here. I think Brantley stays. I think Michael Brantley staying here. I think that if there's any fire to the smoke that is the Ozuna news, I think that you are bringing Jordan back, Ozuna back, completely replacing George Springer. And I think that
Ozuna.
Ozuna. Marcelo Ozuna.
You're bringing him back.
No, I said bringing him in.
No, you didn't.
I said bringing Jordan. It's fine. Look.
I do think there's a way
the
that
offense
you can
is
going to
be fine. And to your point, the people we brought up from the minors were all arms, and the arms were fine. The arms showed that they can do
it. And they got big innings.
Right.
And I think taking it from Matt Damon's The Martian when he said, I'm going to science the shit out of this, I think you can moneyball the shit out of this if George Springer walks. 100%. Because you have a full year. We have not seen a full year of Jordan Alvarez. It's like Jordan Alvarez is like a mythological Greek tragedy that we just read about in a history, but we don't even know.
He's a fairy tale.
We haven't seen a full year of him.
He's
and now we have a Kyle Tucker full year. You can moneyball those numbers.
Full year.
A full year.
Full year.
A moneyball, a George Springer, and, you know, the averages and means, and let the nerds do the science stuff of it.
Exactly.
You can replace that. And then if you get, you know, a Marcel, you get Brantley back.
To your point exactly about George Springer, we're talking about bringing in Jackie Bradley Jr.
Hey,
Jackie Bradley Jr. is George's defense. Jordan is George's power.
He's
and
old.
Kyle Tucker is George's.
I mean, JBJ will be
off and on production.
And also,
he shows up big in the postseason.
Yeah. End up killing us in 18 because he was Ted Williams all of a sudden.
Yeah.
But, okay, so before we get into the rundown of the Hall of Fame class for Major League Baseball this year, guesses for Springer and Brantley.
So
I guess Reddick too. We can throw Reddick.
Yeah, you know, Springer, I think will end up at the Mets.
Yeah, I'm thinking Mets too. Cohen's going to throw a lot of money at him.
Yeah, they got the new richest owner in the MLB
who buys $95 million rabbits.
Yeah,
glass rabbits.
Yeah, he bought some stupid sculpture for $114 million. So they got Cano.
Yeah,
got
breaking
suspended,
news today. Cano
got suspended today for PEDs again. He's
cheater.
Out all next year.
People
he's
say
cheater.
He got that tendency
cheater.
From
the
New
Yankees.
York. Yes.
Yeah. Well, we
wow,
know that.
Look at that brave. That was pretty good right there.
We know
that. Was pretty good.
Also, he's forfeiting his $24 million salary, though. So that's going to go towards whoever the fuck they want to put it toward.
Right? Well, one of my favorite things from the Steve Cohen presser was he said, I'm not buying the Mets to make money. I make money on my day job. So he's saying, I'm going to come here and spend money.
That was kind of a he wants Axelrod Billions comment. He's like, what's the point of fuck you money if you can't say fuck
exactly.
you?
Exactly. And that's 100% what it is. You know, he's been trying to buy a team for a little while now, and I think that
they finally approved
he wants to come out there, and he's going to throw his dick down a little bit. And I think, I think Springer's going there.
I think Springer ends up on the East Coast, we're probably in the mess because they're going to throw the bag at him. And good for George. He deserves it.
He deserves it. 100%. He got his ring. He did. George did everything here that he was supposed to do here. You know? And
he was a savior.
He was the World Series MVP for crying out loud.
Mike, I love you. I miss you, but I'm not going to cry. I'm not going to be
mad at
you.
He was a kid that we drafted out of Connecticut that was like, okay, this is the the new piece that is going to lead the wave of the Houston Astros coming back in it. It happened.
He was the cover of the SI article. Yeah. Right?
Go get your money, George.
Go do it.
Brantley, there's a lot of smoke right now about him Astros. Coming back.
Astros. I'm thinking he's back.
My sources say.
Oh, sources alert.
No. I can't remember who told me this, but someone heard through the grapevine that he was telling his agent that he wanted to get out of here because he was sick of the shit show from all the press and the cheating scandal that he wasn't involved in. That being said, I would love to have him back here. Dude is just a clean hitter.
That sounds like all bullshit.
And it probably is, because Washington reported.
There was no fans in the stands. It's been over for 2 years. Like, what bullshit did Michael Brantley do?
You know, I agree, but that's just, like I said.
But I think he's a very,
that's all I heard.
It's not like the Houston media on the Zoom call was asking Michael Brantley about the cheating scandal.
Yeah, I don't think it's Army. I think it's the national media and just the barrage of
it. But when did he talk to the national media?
I think it was the fallout and the mishandling again of PR at spring training, pre-COVID and all that shit. So I think Springer and Brantley are a lot more correlated than people know. I think the common fan
they're besties.
Common fan knows they're best friends. They ride together at games. But I mean, there's not a realm of possibilities where if we were to re-sign Brantley, I think the odds go up to maybe re-sign Springer.
Oh, look at now, that's a take.
I think if Brantley is the first domino to fall, things get a little bit more interesting. Where the front office would be like, "Hey, we can get George. Do we want to get George?
What numbers get George back here?
Who's his agent? Is it Boris
Brantley? Can we get a production? Can we get a production look on that?
Yeah, Josh, look that up for us.
I think Springer Josh, is in the 5 for 150 range in a non-COVID.
That
year.
Sounds right.
In a non-COVID year. So I would offer George a
in my head I said 30 million
85
3 year 85. So
90.
There's a lot of disconnect with George though as well because hey he was a guy that went through the era of it all. They also, the Astros, and maybe Click can spin this in a way, like, hey, I'm the new guy. I respect you a lot more than the previous regime. They fucked with the service time. They kept him down. They fucked
with
his
That was the biggest disservice we did to him. He was 26 when he came up? 25?
So
outrageous.
That's money out of his pocket. So that's why, and people are like, oh, Dez, you know.
And no one was holding him down. No one. Like, Michael Bourne had been long gone.
Yeah. And so that's money out of his pocket. And so that's why I want George to go get his bag. I mean, he deserves it. But I think there's underlying factors there.
Who's
where
to say Cohen won't come out and just, like I said, show out?
George's agent is Excel Sports Management.
What about Michael Brantley?
It's the same.
The same? Oh, wow.
Oh, holy shit. Oh, there's
a
package
there, dude. What a little smoke and fire there. So, hey, maybe the odds. Go get Brantley first. And
they got Jerry Maguire going like this. can you get him back? Yeah. But, no, so... You know, if Brantley doesn't end up back here, fuck. I mean, they're going to have an outfield to fill out.
Right? You can go, well, look at Ben's post. I mean, dude, Robbie Grossman.
I'll tell you, if you haven't watched
Michael Brantley goes.
Or if you haven't read the article that Ben put together, it's called Astros in the Outfield, and it is his top 10 prediction in free agency to fill the vacancies in the Astros outfield. It's probably the best article on Apollo today.
100%.
Am I wrong?
Yeah, because I shit post most of the time. So, 100%. 100%. So,
Ribbert's heel turn was very good article.
Yes, it was. And it came to fruition.
It really was.
It really came to fruition.
100%.
So, quick rundown of the Hall of Fame class. Who's in and who's out? Let's just run through these guys real quickly. I hopefully have it. Curt Schilling.
In.
In, out. Wow. Roger Clemens.
Out.
This year, should be in. PEDs?
Mind you, both should be in.
Both should be in, but
neither's going to make it in.
The dinosaurs of the Riders and the grudges they hold because they're nerds. Barry Bonds.
Should be
100% should be in.
Yeah, 100% will be.
Should have been in. Best baseball player of all time.
Yeah, won't be in.
Won't be in. Omar Vizquel.
Omar Vizquel should be on the ballot.
No.
Scott Rolen.
Fuck Scott Rolen.
Well, that's a lot of
I'm Cardinals. Biased. That's a biased. I can't say
that.
That
was a lot of biased Cardinals. He has a legitimate argument.
Fuck that guy.
But fuck him.
Cincinnati Red legend Scott Rolen.
Billy Wagner. Billy Wags.
Dude.
Recency.
Mr. 100.
Billy Astros. Wagner. Billy Wagner is going to be one of those guys that benefits from the steroids era because I don't think Billy Wagner is a Hall of Famer, but Billy Wagner might get into the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
Like like you said about these writers, it's going to be shoving it in someone's face. Like, yeah, fuck you, Barry Bonds, you're not in, but Billy Wagner's in. It's like, dude, that's a travesty.
Yeah,
that is a travesty.
Gary Sheffield,
juicer out.
Yeah, I say no, and mostly just because his son's a fucking tool bag.
Yeah, Todd Helton,
no,
third year on the ballot.
No,
Manny Ramirez,
yes.
He should be, but no, he won't.
I think he's just in that steroid era. Like that.
He deserves it.
He deserves it. He deserves to be in it just for the high five out in left field.
Dog, put him in.
He deserves it for the cutoff.
Fuck these nerds that don't put the guys in for juicing.
Astros fan favorite, Jeff Kent.
No. Jeff Kent's not.
No, yeah, I'm saying Jeff Kent's in.
Oh?
I'm calling Jeff Kent in. Yeah. He's going to sneak some votes off.
Was his bad boy attitude that just...
No, I just think that, again, with the steroid stuff and the people who aren't going to get the votes that they're supposed to get. I mean, who's better, Scott Rowland or Jeff Kent?
That's a lot of votes to
fuck
get.
Fuck you, St. Louis. It's Jeff Kent. Nah, get out of here, Colin. How dare you?
This is a guy I'll probably go on a ledge for that I think would probably get in this year. And this would be a big jump from 19.4%. Andrew Jones.
No. Hall of very good.
Yeah, well, it's a steroid ballot.
Yeah.
He's very good. Like, Andrew Jones broke into the scene.
Dog, he was so fun to watch. Come on.
So fun. And wonderful defense, but the last 4 or 5 years of his career, he was just really, really bad. And I think that tanked his numbers. I don't think so. Hall of very good.
Sammy Sosa.
No.
Should be in.
Should be, but won't be. Andy Pettit.
No. Should be, won't be, PEDs.
I don't know if he should be.
Bobby Abreu. Yes.
No.
Astro Bobby Abreu.
No.
And then a bunch of guys, first year on the ballot, Tim Hudson.
No.
Probably not. Mark Burley.
No.
Perfect game, Mark Burley.
Even though Mark Burley.
That was probably one of the best perfect games of all
time. Mark Burley.
Dwayne Wise, right?
Mm-hmm.
In center field, his catch.
Mark Burley would definitely have the shortest speech.
Yes.
Just go out there and get it done. Thank you.
I got that joke. It was good.
It's a real
thank you.
Torrey Hunter. Probably not.
No. Not on this ballot. But
not
he'll
first
make
year,
it.
No.
Yeah, Dan Heron? No. Barry Zito. The nastiest 12-6 of all time.
Can I get back to Dan Heron real quick? At iThrow88. Love that guy. I was a big Dan Heron guy. No, he'll never make it.
Barry.
But I was a big Dan Heron guy.
Barry Zito in that flow of hair. The nastiest 12-6, I think, ever.
He threw it
to God. God touched it and went down and hit the catcher's spot.
Yeah, where'd you hear that? Did you just come up with that?
What was Barry Zito's career ERA? Like, yeah, it was close
God
to
was
four.
Like, this is mine. Yeah, he just snapped it up.
Yeah.
Hey, boy. Aramis Ramirez made the ballot.
No.
110?
Shane Victorino?
Nope.
AJ Burnett?
Did they just put anyone on the
yes,
fucking Hall of Fame ballot?
I'm looking at it now.
Shane Victorino?
Listen to this next one. Listen to this.
The Flying Hawaiian?
Nick,
get the fuck out of here,
Nick
dude.
Swisher.
Oh, yeah. First ballot, dude. Unanimous.
Put him in.
LaTroy Hawkins. Okay. Astro legend.
I do love LaTroy Hawkins.
And Michael Kadire. I mean, like, Michael Kadire.
He can
go to his hometown forever and be like, yeah, I was on the Hall of Fame ballot and market that for the rest of his life.
Yeah,
and his kids could do that and make $1 million. So, I don't know. It's going to be really interesting.
If I had a vote, I would vote for Michael Kadire just to show what a fucking sham it was.
I mean...
Michael Kadire's all... Yeah, let's put him in.
If there's ever a year for the steroid people to get in, it'll be this year.
Indeed. Yeah.
Let him in.
Yeah. We'll just see how they're just.
You take Manny Ramirez, Barry Bonds, and Roger Clemens off that list, and I don't think I vote for any of them. Curt Schilling. Yeah, Schilling. Sosa had good years, but how great was Sosa?
All right. Let's do a quick fire. What do you want to see from each of the big three teams in 2021?
Texas, I want to see a competent front office across all the boards. Give me that.
That was what I had in my notes also.
Look at that.
You'll definitely get it from the Astros.
Will we?
You'll probably get it from... Yeah, I believe in Clark.
Okay.
I believe in Clark.
So, Easterby...
That guy's a weirdo.
He got to get gone.
You keep calling him a weirdo, dude. You hate that guy.
I don't like
him. I didn't know about the background of the little...
Yeah, dude, he's weird.
Not to be fair.
Fugazi.
He said he's weird because he's a pastor.
No. He's got a strange resume.
Yeah. I didn't know about the resume. I didn't know about research.
It's professional weird.
Well, and what was even weirder was I was taking these notes earlier, and I tried to pull up his Wikipedia page. Bro, he don't have one.
Ooh,
now, what? I'll give the Texans
credit. I have a Wikipedia page. It's called Spaceman.
Got that.
I'll give the Texans credit for this. They came out today, and they're like, just so everyone knows, this dude is not going to be our GM. So... this guy that's here, we're not really sure what he does.
What is he doing?
No one knows, dude. It's just like Belichick said. He was like, he used to send me positive affirmations.
Okay.
What? We have to give the guy a jersey for that?
He's leading the prayer in the locker room before they come out?
Problem is, he may not be the GM, but he's running the search.
Right now he is.
Yeah.
That's a problem.
The Texans got that Corn Fairy.
This all goes to the top, dude. It all goes to Cal.
Let's hit the cues.
Let's jump into it. We have our Ask Apollo segment.
I had some takes on what I wanted from 2020.
Yeah, go ahead. Why I pull it up real quick.
I want the Roughnecks back. That's it.
That's all I want.
That's
Roughnecks.
Okay, so we have our Ask Apollo segment. We'll wrap it up this evening. Colin went on and got this questions going. We said, hey, hashtag Ask Apollo. We always end our segments with these questions for us. First one is from Astro Drone at Utah Drone Guy. If Harden is traded, do the Jazz finally get past Houston in the playoffs?
No.
No, we own Drone Guy.
You never get past us ever.
Sorry, bro. It's not happening. Vernon Maxwell will not allow it. He will simply not allow it.
Your best player is Donovan Mitchell, who at best is the sixth man of a year for a five seed somewhere. All right? Accept your mediocrity.
This is from Benomra Esper.
I don't want to be mean to him. He's so nervous.
What's the future of Houston sports looking like? We're including Dynamo as well after they dropped that trash logo yesterday.
It was awful.
The logo was very bad.
The Dash's logo I did like.
I like the Dash one. What did your buddy said that the new Dynamo logo looked like a minor league baseball team?
He said it was a minor league baseball team.
Houston Dynamo Football Club.
The football club. He said the football club FC, thing was... Yeah. No, so my friend... FC. My friend Alex is a huge soccer fan. He's been a Dynamo season ticket holder for years.
No government names.
His name's not redacted. Actually that. Redacted. He's been a season ticket holder for years. They just refused to field like a competitive team, right? So he thought that this move was marketing at best. Like, it's not really anything other than, hey, here's a new logo. Also, we're going to be the FC. We're still not going to field a competitive team, but we've got a new logo, right?
We'll see.
He said the logo, and I agree with this, it doesn't really say anything Houston in it. You know, there's nothing Houston about it.
You know, it's one of these things where people are so starved for sports right now. I'm very inclined. If I knew more people that were into Dynamo, should I be at all the games?
They're just another mediocre sports team, dude. We got plenty of them right now.
I know, but they're it's fun to go to a game.
So the original question was the Outcast.
Like, what's the future? What's the future cast looking?
So I'll do this, and we'll go around the board if y'all want to.
Yeah, go ahead.
The brightest future right now is Astros.
100%.
The most okay future is the Rockets, and the everything's totally fucked future is the Texans.
Agreed.
Thank you. I'll probably put the Rockets in the totally fucked if we traded Harden.
No, they'd get assets back.
Yeah, right? Who wants to see Jared Allen?
Like, if Bill O'Brien traded James Harden, he'd trade him for like
a bag of
Spencer Dinwiddie and a 2027 second round pick, yeah. Right?
Spencer Lowe.
And then you're totally fucked.
Mm-hmm.
This is from Lockmeyer. He goes, do you think the Astros will ever get past the cheating scandal? What would it take? Would another World Series end the hate?
Here's my answer. To the people on Twitter.com application, no. The Astros will never get past the cheating scandal. To most casual baseball fans, I'm sure some of them don't even know about it, or they will forget about it. The problem is the Astros were 8 outs away from winning the World Series last year.
And forced a Game 7 this year in the pennant.
And forced a Game 7. And if they were to win that World Series last year, people would still have said they probably cheated.
Yeah.
Right? Even though they didn't. Everyone knows they didn't. If anyone's paid any attention to it, they know that they didn't. No, I don't think they will to super baseball fans. They'll never move past that. It'll just be like the Yankees doing steroids.
I think it'd be like the Riders with the steroid guys. There'll always be a little cloud. And
no, everything's the next headline now. So I agree with Colin that another title won't get rid of it. It'll just reinforce it. But eventually there's going to be a story that people care about more. So as with everything, time's going to make it go away. Right. Yeah. Once everybody's gone, if we go through another 100 loss season, like
if
Michael Schwab can get the Yankees letter unsealed and we get the heat off us and onto them, you know, like that will help.
That would be great. But I mean, we're seeing it now with free agencies and coaches. AJ Hinch all of a sudden is, you know, a redemption story. Cora, he did his time. Redemption story.
Oh yeah.
George Springer.
Oh, no. Hey,
George Springer. You know,
Lunell's gonna get a job. Yeah.
Hey guys, I don't want to hear a fucking word from you, dude. Cora owned it privately. End of story.
That's right. Look, they punished the video replay guy that did it.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And then, sure, they brought him back, but they punished him in the
now
time.
Now he's a head scout. Right? They punished him in the time. Next question. This is from at Arginus Rich _ Rich. Thanks for doing this. I appreciate you. You're welcome.
Anytime, bud.
He goes, do you think the Astros underperformed this season due to no fans in games? Do you guys think they'll do better next season?
First.
Almost every team underperformed this year. The preseason thing, I think, fucked everyone's routines up.
Yeah.
Most teams were underperforming. Everyone liked to highlight that the Astros were underperforming because of the cheating scandal that was exposed, which was stupid, and the trash cans didn't help. Look up the numbers. Fuck you if you think it helped.
Shout out Tony Adams, friend of the program.
Yeah, and other reporters that have done even more research off of Tony's data. So, do I think they'll play better next year? Shit, they might. I mean, pitching, really, I think it comes down to pitching.
The offense is going to be a cool thing to do to come out and boo the Astros. I'll be like that next year.
You had no Yordan Alvarez. You had one start from Justin Verlander. You had half a season of Roberto Ozuna. You had Lance McCullers miss time. You had Jose Altuve have by far his worst season in the major leagues.
You had Keating
miss time. You had 947 minor leaguers pitch at some point this year.
You had a manager.
And you made it to Game 7 of the ALCS. You were one game away from the World Series. Did they underperform? Absolutely not. They overperformed. They had no business being where they were. And yes, they will 100% perform at this level again next season.
Yeah, they underperformed, but everyone else also underperformed, correct. So they just edged it out.
Yeah. And then they showed up when they had to show up.
And they showed up in the post almost.
This is from a good friend of the program, great human being, Dr. Asperger.
What kind of
death cocktail do you recommend? ? Chlorine, diesel, Everclear.
Ribbert and I, we go straight for the bleach after the Texans games. We're chugging bleach.
If we're doing Clorox, like actual death cocktail, then yeah, the Clorox.
I like Fabuloso, just spice it up.
Yeah, Fabuloso, yeah. There you go.
It's fun.
Yeah.
If you want the feel-like-death cocktail, then you go to the Everclear.
Yeah.
Like, you're not going to die, but boy, you're going to want to.
A little jungle juice action. That'll get you real bad.
Man, I just had like 23 all over again.
Might as well set up the gasoline.
This is from at Grizzly Ballard. He goes, have Ribbert tell the story. Yeah, have Ribbert. This is directed to you. Tell the story when we were in Dallas for WrestleMania and we tossed beers over the house. Have him touch on how Dallas is gross as fuck and Houston isn't. Thanks.
Okay, so to the second point first, Dallas, awful city. Very, very bad place. And I understand being from Houston, I'm naturally like predicated to hate Dallas. But I went to Dallas multiple times and open mind, it's just an awful place. So me and, gosh, it was like 8 buddies. We rented a house in Dallas. WrestleMania weekend. We go up Friday. We make a whole weekend of it. We go to all the local shows. And the house had a pool. So Stone Cold Steve Austin used to do a thing where people would throw him beers from the stands, right? So he'd be in the ring. People would just throw him beer from the stands. Hey, we'll do that. We send someone to the other side of the house. Hey, throw a beer over the house into the guy in the pool. Hell fun, yeah. Wonderful, fantastic. Until you're on the other side of the pool and shit turns into World War II Normandy and you've got beers just flying just at you from out of nowhere.
That'll knock you out.
Yeah, so you
and you're intoxicated at this point.
Oh, yeah, we're hammered. Yeah, we bought a keg. What we did there, we had two title belts. We had the World Champion belt and we had the Intercontinental belt. And they were 24/7 belts. So at any point, someone could challenge you to it. And it was always a drinking contest. So let's say Colin's got the Intercontinental belt. I wake him up at 3 in the morning and I say,
give me that
first belt. One is shotgun a beer wins the belt, right? And he's like, oh, what the heck's going on?
So you got to scramble.
Yeah, I shotgun the beer. Bam, Colin's mine. We do this for a whole weekend. There's no sleep. There's only drinking involved. So after 2 days of this, you're in the pool and someone's Steve Austin-ing you some beers. It was a good time. Good time. That
sounds like a lot of fun.
A good time that you don't replicate, right? Yeah. I can do that when I'm 25. I couldn't do that today. I'd get concussed for sure.
Yeah, not at 26.
Missy Ballard.
This is from Frank Garcia, Frank G5. Potential 2021 Astros lineup. We can just okay this. He has it as Altuve, Brantley in left, Bregman, Osuna in right field, Correa, Alvarez, Tucker in center, Yuli at first, Machete behind the dish. I think
that makes the most
realistic.
Sense to me. Yeah,
I think JBJ's probably there. I don't know. There's a lot of smoke now with Marcel. I don't know if we...
Okay, put Jackie Bradley Jr. in that lineup. Who do you take out? Ozuna?
I don't think we get Ozuna. That's what my argument is. There's a lot of money there, and he had a great year and great postseason. So I'd probably say JBJ and center, Tucker and right. But I would take that lineup, too. I mean, I would take this lineup that...
Let's see either way.
Frank presented. And the last one, do you think ESPN will do a 30 for 30 titled The Misery of Houston Sports Fan? There's a lot of material to work with.
Yeah, that was Scott Elliott, by the way.
Yes, Scott Elliott.
The term Heartbreak Houston didn't come from nowhere. We've been dealing with this shit our whole lives, mm-hmm. professionally as sports fans, if that makes any sense.
27 missed threes.
27 missed threes, eight outs away. You know, the Houston teams will blue balls you. They will blue balls you. Yeah. And
Howie Kendrick.
Shit. I don't think that they're
the Letterman jackets.
They normally make 30 for 30s off of one, specific issue.
11-1 Texans watching Shaw blow his leg out.
24-0 in the 24-0 in the first quarter.
Yeah, I think that's a good question. I think Apollo could run their own 30 for 30, not ESPN. I mean, just throw that out in the universe.
Say
we want.
They made a 10-hour series about Michael Jordan being great. We could absolutely make a 10-hour series on that.
100%.
Yes.
Well, I have
a question. Like to end off.
Go ahead.
If you don't mind. Dez, who is a money-making machine... The Warren Buffett of college football picks, if you Lots. Will. I don't watch college football, Lots. But I do make money. I need lock, baby.
Lots.
Who do we got this weekend in the COVID college football programs?
Yeah, so we are at 13-4 going into this week. I haven't even looked at the board.
13-4
is
what?
That's over 3-1.
13 wins, four losses.
What are you talking about? Those are your picks?
My picks on my Twitter, and I've been tagging our at Cash Landing podcast. The boys, Ben and his buddy, talk about under the Apollo Media umbrella, talk about sports and gambling and their DraftKings lineups.
Folks, to put it in perspective, if you're hitting 60% of your bets, you're doing good. All right, Dez is hitting 3 wins for every 1 loss.
It's not sustainable.
Fantastic.
It's not sustainable.
It is, so follow him. Follow the picks. He's going to sustain this pace.
I really like Ohio State covering the 20 points.
Who are they playing?
Indiana.
Okay.
Number 9 Indiana.
Indiana's been feisty this year.
They've been feisty, but I think Ohio State just flexes their muscles. That's a COVID though game. That's a COVID little. And looking else at the board, we'll see that what comes into light. Cincinnati Central Florida is a really good game. I like. I think I like the over 63 there. I think it's two teams that are just going to score a lot of points.
It sounds like an over game. Yeah. Feels like
Those are the two that I've been sitting on, and we'll see what else I'll post on Twitter. But there's just with COVID and late reports coming out on into Friday into Saturday, you don't really know until That's Saturday true. Morning.
Betting COVID has been interesting.
It's like to catching say the a knife. Least. It's like catching right. a knife.
Because in the betting world, you have your two windows. You've got right when the line is announced, get your early number, and then you've got okay, right before the game show,
75% of the right, team is not is, playing.
Right. You've got this is my last number, so I know this is where it's going to settle at.
Where's Rivers Fox?
So I don't know about locks, but this week I've gotten away from teams. I've gotten a total. So
ooh, I like
tomorrow night. I like, and it's going to be counterproductive. I like Arizona Seattle under 57.5. Seattle not been putting up some numbers lately. Arizona doesn't put up a lot of good numbers outside. I think a lot of action is going to go to 57.5. That number might move to 58, 58.5. Grab an under on that. Betting the under is no fun, but I like the under on that.
Like overs never die, but I like this under.
It's true. Miami, Denver, another under 45. Tua, 3-0. He's been killing it, but his stats not so great. Defense special teams been doing it. Now he's going up to Denver. He's in the altitude. Denver does have a good defense. Offense not so good. Drew Lock hasn't been great. I think under 45 strong on that one. Atlanta, New Orleans. Another under, 50.5.
You're loving these unders.
I hate unders. I hate it. But you got Jameis Winston coming in there. Offense has to readjust to him. New Orleans has a good defense. You never know what you're getting out of Atlanta. Even a high-scoring affair there, 27-20, that's 47 still, points. 27-23, that's 50 points. So I got three unders this week. I think the numbers have been inflated because there's been a lot of offense. Those are my picks for this week.
I like them. I'll bet them.
I'm telling you too.
I'm gonna take them. So, okay. Thank you guys for tuning in for the Apollo Hour once again, Colin. Thank you for having us in your beautiful home.
You're welcome,
Robert. Thank you for coming out and
Des, spending thank you the hour and Josh and David, everyone behind the scenes,
our production
putting
team.
It together. We got this one recorded.
Hopefully,
we'll go back. We'll watch the tape. We're going to try and get a little better. We're going to move on to next week.
Yes.
100%. Maybe the week after that.
We're on to next week. We're on to next show. And I think we're going to start turning these out a lot more. More YouTube content. Things centered like this. With all our personalities. We'll be here. We'll have new faces and new people coming in and out.
Personality. You've seen this mug?
Look at that. And you can see it right behind him as well. There's a
and Des is 13-4 picks. Yeah. Tune in for that alone. So, yes. Let's make some money, people.
We're going to stumble ass backwards into success.
That's right.
All of us. All right. Love you guys. All right.
Fuck you, Bill O'Brien.
Yeah.